Good evening. Thank you to everyone who's come out tonight, and we'll begin reading in the Gospel of Matthew, please. Matthew in chapter 15. I'll admit it's a bit of a strange feeling being on this side of the pulpit in a ministry meeting, but we do pray that the Lord will speak, and at the very least, his word is read. So we can't lose from that. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll be reading in the four Gospels tonight, but the passages we'll be reading will be in chronological order, not the order that they are in your Bible. So Matthew 15 to begin, and verse 34. And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, Seven, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. John 11, please. John 11 and verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. That's Lazarus it's referring to. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Luke 22, just one verse here, Luke 22 and verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them saying, This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. And then finally, Mark chapter 14. And verse 23. Mark 14 and verse 23. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And that's all I'd like to read tonight. Now, the Lord Jesus really was a perfect man. And we say that, but really, when you look closely at his life, you find everything good that a person can be or that a person can do. If you consider any list of virtues in the Bible, you'll find that he fulfills them all. You go to Micah 6, verse 8, what does the Lord require of thee? You go to the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Go to the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13. Or the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and he's in it. Every single one of those virtues. You will find a man who is kind. You'll find someone who is generous. A man who loves. A man who speaks up for justice. A man who loves peace. And you'll also find a thankful man. I've been appreciating this since August. When I first paid attention to the fact that the Lord gave thanks. And you know, there are some things that just always go together, and some things that really do not go together. So I have yet to meet a griping, godly person. They just don't go together. But I do know godly, grateful people. And the Lord Jesus was thankful. Thankfulness is a mark of godliness. In Ephesians 5, verse 20, Paul encourages believers to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other end of the spectrum, unthankfulness is a mark of the last days and is included in a list of ungodly characteristics. That's in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. So the Lord gave thanks. Now we've read of the four specific things that the Lord gave thanks for. So in Matthew 15, he gave thanks for the loaves and the fish. Now often in the Bible it says he blessed the food, and that has a very similar idea. But in Matthew it says specifically that he gave thanks. In John, he gave thanks in his prayer to his Father for hearing him. In Luke and Mark, which are the verses that we read about the Lord's Supper, he gave thanks for the loaf and for the cup. So those are the four things that I'd like to consider tonight, and we'll see what we can learn about the Lord and about thankfulness. Two things I just want to note, sort of as parenthetical remarks. You may wonder why I didn't include Matthew 11:25, which in the King James says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth." However, the word used is a completely different one, and it usually has the idea of confessing or declaring. Anyway, just so you're aware that I didn't miss one. And also an interesting note, three out of the four things here are food or beverages. And so the act of giving thanks before a meal is very biblical. In fact, Christ did it himself. In fact, one resource that I looked at said it was a Jewish custom to praise God for each dish. So it's definitely more than just a good habit. It is biblical. So first, Matthew 15, looking at thankfulness from the heart. When we give thanks, the words are definitely important. Saying thank you is very, very important. But the heart is more important. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but sometimes when we were small, my brothers and I, we would get into disagreements, sometimes very heated disagreements, and sometimes our parents would have to get involved. And at the end of the discussion, we would be told to apologize because we had done wrong. But we didn't want to admit that we'd done wrong, and so we'd growl out an apology, sorry. And then we would be told to say it again, this time like you mean it. Because in apologies, just as in thankfulness, the words are important. But if the heart is not in it, the words mean very little. So Matthew 15, the verses we read where the Lord is giving thanks for loaves and fish, comes at the end of the chapter. But at the beginning of that chapter, the Lord is facing questions about purity, questions about tradition. As a Pharisee asked him, "Why don't your disciples wash your hands the way we do?" And the Lord proceeds to tell them that it's not their hand washing that makes them righteous. And in fact, he tells them that they're drawing nigh to him with their lips, saying the right things, sounding very pious, very godly, but their hearts are far from him. That's Matthew 15 and verse 8. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And he goes on to say that it is the heart, the things that come out of the heart, that defile a man, that defile a person. Look at some of the things that it includes. Matthew 15:18. For out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Verse 19. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the type of things that come out of an ungodly heart, that come out of a heart of sin, or an ungrateful heart. But when you look at what the Lord said at the end of this chapter, we look at what comes out of a thankful heart. And he gives thanks. Gives thanks for this meal, as small as it was, just some loaves, a few fish, but he gives thanks. And that's what comes out from his heart. You know, ungratefulness, it comes from dissatisfaction. When we think that what we have isn't enough, or it's not the right kind, that's, I believe, a huge root of unthankfulness. But that's not what the Lord showed. That's not what the Lord had. So he gave thanks from the heart. In John 11, we see thankfulness for hearing. So this prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed, it's at the tomb of Lazarus, just before he raised him from the dead. Many commentators write that this is one of the greatest miracles, one of the greatest signs that the Lord Jesus accomplished. And part of it is because on a human level, it's so impossible. A man who's been dead for 4 days can't be raised from the dead. But the Lord Jesus, he pauses. And as I was reading this passage over several times, I was impressed by the hopelessness of it. There is no hope for those sisters, for the crowd there. Well, Martha says there is hope that Lazarus will rise again at the resurrection, at the last day. But for right now, he's gone. And the Lord Jesus, who was called, who was asked to help, he's here now, but what can he do? It's been 4 days. There's not much hope. So I just wonder what it must have sounded like, what it must have been to be there and hear the Lord pray. As it says, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you hear me always. But because of the people who are around, because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you've sent me." And I believe this goes back to what the Lord said in verse 4 of the chapter. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." You know, there are some questions that I wish I could have had answered while I was studying, but I wasn't able to find them. It doesn't seem exactly clear when the Lord Jesus prayed. What prayer he's referring to here in verse 41. "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. But whatever the case, whenever the Lord Jesus prayed this, whether it was the moment he got the news that Lazarus was sick, maybe before that, maybe sometime in between, this is what he knew. His Father had heard him. Hearing is an interesting theme in John 11, because it's made very clear that the Lord heard that Lazarus was sick. Verse 4, "when Jesus heard that." So it's very clear that the Lord Jesus heard. But then what he does with that information confuses the people around. Some people think that he should stay where he is forever. No, don't go back there, it's dangerous. Other people want him to go, to act now, to try to save Lazarus while there's still time. But the Lord Jesus stands still for 2 days and then goes. So he heard. He most definitely heard. But he didn't have to act exactly when they wanted. This miracle would be for God's glory, this sickness. And it's interesting, in his prayer, he prays that they may believe. The people around, he wants them to believe. And he doesn't say that they may believe in me, but he says that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He wants them to believe in his Father, the one who hears. The one who hears his prayer, the one who answers, the one who has a very real relationship with his Son. So in John chapter 11, we see thankfulness for hearing. Now, I'd like to move to the third point in Luke, thankfulness for his Father's plan. The upper room is an amazing scene. You know, there are years, decades that we know less about than that one evening in Jerusalem. Every gospel speaks about it. John especially spends several chapters dealing with what the Lord Jesus said and what he did that night. It's a final night of fellowship and of teaching that will be absolutely essential to his disciples. And it was a night that was incredibly precious to the Lord Jesus. He told them in Luke 22, verse 15, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." There are a couple interesting things I noticed from Luke's account. One, it's actually the only gospel that says he gave thanks for the bread, for the loaf. The others, again, all say he blessed. But another interesting thing about it is that Luke emphasizes that this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So in verse 1 of the chapter, in verse 3 again, he makes it very clear that that was the time this was happening. And I'd never really made that connection before, but the loaf that they ate that night must have been unleavened bread. Now, of course, leaven is a common symbol for sin, for something that spreads and has an effect. So I found it very symbolically significant that on the night the Lord Jesus took bread representing his body, he was eating unleavened bread. He is the sinless Son of God, the one who has no sin in him. And just one more picture that the scriptures give us of our Savior. Another interesting thing to note is the different attitude towards his death. In verse 2, Luke 22, you see, "And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people." That's how they looked at it. They wanted to see how they could kill him, how they could put him away, get rid of him. But you look at verse 19. It says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you." The Pharisees, the scribes, they thought they were going to take it. They thought that they could kill the Lord Jesus. But in verse 19, he tells them the truth. It's given. He gave. He has the power to give his life and he has the power to take it again. So he gave thanks for the literal bread in front of him. But I wonder what else he was thinking about. As he gave thanks for the bread, telling them that this is my body, which is given for you. I wonder if he thought about his father's plan. His father's plan that would save so many souls, souls that he loved. Was he thanking his father for the plan of redemption? Was he thanking him for the souls who would be saved because of what he was going to pass through, because of his sacrifice? Was he thinking of the joy, as Hebrews 12 calls it, the joy that was set before him, the joy that led him to endure the cross, despising the shame, and now he's set down at the right hand of God? We don't want to mystify it or make it some sort of code, but I wonder if these are some of the things that he was thinking about. Because it's all true. Because of what he gave, because of what he has done, because of his body, the body that his father had prepared for him, the body that he gave, we can be saved. Because of that body that he gave, because of the sacrifice he made, glory was brought to God, to his Father, in a way that no one else has, and no one else ever will. So he expressed thankfulness for his Father's plan. I'd like to look at, finally, at Mark chapter 14, which talks about the cup. So the Lord, once again, he gives thanks for a physical object, for the cup that he drank. And the symbolism, again, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And in these verses, I find something very interesting. I find that he was not just focused on the present trials. He wasn't just focused on the suffering that he would face within the next 24 hours. But he looks ahead. He's looking forward. In verse 25, he says, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." He was thinking of another day. A day when he will be recognized for who he is. A day when he will not wear a crown of thorns, but he will wear the crown of the royalty that he is. A day when he will not be called the King of the Jews in mockery, but he will be rightfully declared to be the King of Kings. A future day. It would be a very interesting study to look at the Lord Jesus and what he said about the cup or cups. Because, you know, I sometimes struggle with verses like the one I mentioned earlier, giving thanks always for all things, and verses like rejoice always. That's hard. My life really hasn't been that tough, but even I've found it hard to live those out sometimes. And I think it is important to note that we don't have to go through life in a stoical, unfeeling way. Because just a little bit later, the Lord Jesus is going to pray, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And even though he knows there is no other way, that God's plan depends on this, on the completion of his work, he asks for this cup to be removed. So there are things that we find it hard to be thankful for. And, you know, giving thanks or saying thank you doesn't fix our problems. It doesn't heal the sickness. Saying thank you does not bring back the loved one who's gone either by choice or by accident. It doesn't solve these problems. But I'm so thankful that we don't just look at death as the end, but we can look beyond. We can look, like our Lord, we can look forward to another day, to a day far beyond the problems that we have right here, far beyond the suffering that we will experience on this earth. To a crowning day that's coming. And I was enjoying the thought, even the truth about the Lord's Supper. How long are we going to keep doing this? To remember the Lord in this way? It's only until he comes. He's coming. So here's another way that the Lord Jesus gave thanks. Another thing that he gave thanks for. A future day in the kingdom of God. So we've seen him give thanks from the heart. Genuinely, out of a pure heart. We've seen him give thanks for the hearing. Knowing that his Father hears him. Knowing that he has a relationship with his Father. Thankfulness for his Father's plan. The plan of redemption. The plan that saved you and I. And thankfulness for a future hope. This isn't the end. And I'm so thankful that we can hold on to that, even when it is hard. So once again, in our Lord, we find so many great things. We find every good thing. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see one who is thankful. And so I just wonder, can we be any different? Let us pray.